We are talking about sons in this season. So it's the season of sons. And today I want to ask a question. Well, let me say son indeed, but really under that I want to ask a question. Are you a son? Are you a son? There are litmus tests. There are things that we can begin to look at to ask if we are really, really sons. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. So birth is akin to children, but sonship is a gift. Sonship is a gift you give back to God. You see, when we are born, that is our gift to this world. But what we now do with that birth is now our gift back to God. And God is wondering, can I get a gift back from you? Can I have not just a child of God, but can I have a son of God? And we said last week that son in this our discussion is not gender specific. It's just a state in God. It's an office in God where you come into maturity, where you come into a place where God can put big things into your hand, where you come into a place where God can put agendas and programs into your hand, where you come into a place where you are not just give me, give me, give me, where you are also, you have made me and I'm going to make others too. That is the place God wants to get us in this season. All right. So let's go back to that anchor scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8 to 20. Ephesians 4 from verse 8 to 20. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That is the definition of sonship. To a perfect man. Go back there, please. 13. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness. Yeah, a little fast, but it's well. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, may grow up in all things into him, who is the head, that is Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. And 20, the last verse. But you have not so learned Christ. As a son, you have to learn Christ. Because Christ is our model son. Christ is the Son of God. And is our model man. Is our model son. So we look unto him. We keep looking at him. And become more and more like him. So I'm asking a question this morning. Are you a son? Are you a son? Who is a son? A son is a person that the father is well pleased in. A son is a person that the father And in this case, God is well pleased in. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, Matthew 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus is the model son. And how we saw that he is a son, it's not because he's using the word, "I'm son of God." You know, we tend to do that. "I'm a son of God." It's part of it. But it is the fact that there was a testimony from heaven that I am well pleased with him. And let me quickly say to you that this testimony that came to him has been well pleased. It's not because he's the second person of the Trinity. No, at this point, he was a man. At this point, he was living like you and I. That's why he was tempted at all points, but without sin. So this statement that God was saying to him, God can say to you. And he wants to say that to you. So, are you a son? The answer will come when you can answer the question, "Am I pleasing to God?" Because a son is the person whom the father is well pleased. Remember that what got Job into trouble was that God was bragging about Job. There are many of us that brag about God, and that is very good. But how many of us can God brag about? "I know my son, he will go to that organization and he won't join them. I know my daughter, she will be in that school and she will not follow the crowd. I know my son, everybody can do it, but he will not do it. He will not say everybody is doing it, so that makes it right. No, she will stand. So I am well pleased in him." So a son is who? Is who the father is well pleased in. And so this morning, God is asking you a question. Are you a son? Are you a son? Do you bring him pleasure? Many of us are always looking for what God can give us. But do you know you can give God something too? Do you know God is also looking for something from your life? "For unto us a child is given." A son is born, excuse me. "But unto us a son is given." There is a presentation, there is a gifting. A son becomes a gift to the father that gave the child. And this morning God is saying, "I've been looking for, when will I get benefit from you? When will you be pleasing to me?" Because let me tell you the truth. Everything God created for himself. Everything God created for himself. He didn't create you for yourself. He didn't create you for others. He created you what? For himself. There are three categories of sons that I just want to look at before I say some few things about pleasing God. There are three categories of sons that I've identified from scripture. I'm sure there are other categories. There is the category of son who please themselves. Remember that a son is a person that the father can say, "I am well pleased." There is a category of sons that please themselves. And there are those, many of them in the body of Christ today. "I just want to please myself. If it suits me, then it is good. I am now my own idol. I seemingly worship myself. You know, I want to see how good my hair is. I want to see how good my clothes are." And there is nothing bad about looking good, smelling good, driving good, and all of those things. There's nothing bad about that. But if you are the focus of your life, if you are the one at the top of your life, if you are the Lord of your life, that's not the right life. There are some people that please themselves. In Romans chapter 8 verse 8, Romans chapter 8 verse 8, the Bible has this to say. Romans 8 verse 8. It says, "So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That is why you see some people, they'll say, "I'm a Christian." But the reason that you cannot see Christ in their Christian is because they are pleasing themselves. Christ is not pronounced. There is something else that is pronounced. And this scripture says it's the flesh. So when the flesh is more pronounced, you can't please God. One of the reasons we fast is so that the flesh will be quiet. So that we can quiet the flesh. Because you see, there are voices that you have as a human being. You have the voice of your flesh. You have the voice of your soul. You know, your mind. And then you have the voice of the spirit. The loudest voice should be the voice of the spirit. And it is the voice that you attend to the most that is louder. There are some people, the voice of their body is so loud, they can't hear any other voice. Their body moves them. It is their body that moves their hand. They get angry between their body and their soul. They are moved in that direction. And I'm saying this morning, which kind of son are you? Are you a son that pleases himself? You are just all about yourself. As long as me, I am fine. As long as my flesh is fine. As long as I can look good. I can smell good. That's all the good. That's not all the good. That's not all the good. You see, the smallest part of our existence is this human body. Because you see, every other one, there's an eternal perspective to the soul and the spirit. But the body does not have eternal perspective. This body is going to finish here. This body is going to end here. This body is going to go back to what you call Mother Earth. It's going to end here. Even the people that don't die when Jesus comes, the Bible says this body is a mortal body. So this body must be taken away like a superhero. You know the superhero when Superman turns to Superman? Or Clark Kent turns to Superman. So this Clark Kent will go down. Superman must come. Okay? So we are going to put on another body. The Bible says immortality will take on mortality. So why are we spending all of the time on this mortal thing? Why are we? Because that's 80% of many people's time is on this mortal thing. Should you not take care of the house that you live in? Of course not. That you will not be careless and you will not even be a godly person, so to say. You need to take care of the Holy Spirit dwells here. He says, if the spirit of he that raised up Jesus dwells in your mortal body, it will quicken your mortal body. So the Holy Spirit dwells in your temple. And he says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So the temple should be kept clean. The temple should be kept well. But the temple is not the God. We can't worship the temple over the God of the temple. And so this morning I'm asking the question, are you a son? A son pleases the Father, but there are some that please themselves. There are other people that please others. There is a category of people who their focus is to please others. And in the days of social media, in the days that life or the world is closer together because of technology, there is the tendency for people to live for another audience, different from the audience of one, different from God, the audience. So we are playing to the gallery. We are playing to the accolades and the likes and the comments of men. There are people that live for others. Pastor, are you saying that we should not care about others? No, I'm not saying so. I am saying that you need to first have to live for something bigger than others before you remember others. You need to understand that you can't live for yourself. Not that you neglect yourself, but you are not living for yourself. And equally so, you can't live for others. Anybody that is living for others, like one day, I think I read somewhere, if you live by the praise of men, you also die by their criticism. If you live by the praise of men, if you are living for the applause of others, that they like me, that they clap for me, that they tell me what I'm doing is good, you will not amount to much. You will not. Because, some days I've met people, somebody will tell me in the same day, you are looking so big. You are just, it's like you are just eating every food that is available. And I'm saying, I'm sorry, sir. And another one will say, what's going on with you? You are just losing weight. The same day. Not another day. The same day. Two different people, two different things. And there are some people, immediately they hear from somebody, you are looking so big, they'll be in depression. Another person, so you will be living your life in a roller coaster. And that's how some of us are living. Because somebody will make a comment and say something and say, you are not beautiful. And then you are feeling sad all week long. I don't care who that person is. Even if that person knows you, you know, sometimes the people that know us can sometimes let the devil use them. You know, when Jesus was with Peter, Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. It was Peter I was talking to. I said, because sometimes, so you need to understand the person speaking to you and understand who is speaking through the person. Because sometimes there are some close people that is not God that is speaking through them. They will tell you that you can't. No. You can't serve God like that. Who told you can go all the way with God like that? No. We are being around this thing. Let us use wisdom. Don't mind them all.
There are people that are living for others. You want them to say, "You're looking good today." If they like, let them not say it. When I look at the mirror and I look at the word, and the word says I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. Once I look at that mirror, the two mirrors, the one I have physical and this one that I have that is spiritual, I believe them. Amen. And what I believe is bigger than what you believe. I thank God for your opinion. No? I will take your opinion and I take constructive feedback. But your feedback will not put my back on the ground. Because sometimes some feedback is drawing us back. Some people want to give you feedback and that feedback is to take you back. I refuse to do that. I refuse that. I will take suggestions from people. I will listen to what you have to say. But I believe what he says most. I'm living for him. He is the one that marks my script. You may think I'm wrong, but if he says I'm right, what about what you think? What is your suggestion? What is your opinion? Well, I'm going to take you with a light grain of salt. And so this morning, I'm asking you the question, are you a son? A son does not please himself. A son does not please others. He's not striving to please others. Look at this scripture. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. This is Paul speaking here. And Paul said, I am not trying to persuade God. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. I am not trying to persuade men or trying to please men. Because those that please men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Is my agenda so that they will like me? Is my agenda so that they will love me? Do I preach, even me as a man of God, do I preach so that you will clap for me and tell me, that was a good message? If God tells me to tell you a hard message, will I tell you? I will tell you, sir. If you like, don't like it, but I will. Because he's the one that sent me. If you query what I'm selling you, go and meet the one that sent me. And if you don't like me for that, it's fine. As long as he likes me. As long as he's for me. Because if God be for me, it doesn't matter who is not for me. He says, do I try to please men? For if I still pleased men, I will not be a bond servant of Christ. Somebody needs to hear that. If I still please men, I will not be a bond servant of Christ. If I'm trying to play to the gallery, it's going to affect God saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. If I'm trying to please men. Because men cannot be pleased. Even the same man, not two men, no, the same man will change his views. He will change his preferences. You know, some of us, we used to like some things when we were younger. Now we don't like those things again. I remember when my wife, she was pregnant, she liked some kind of food. And then after she is not pregnant again, amen to Jesus, she doesn't like those kind of food again. So that is her. So now imagine other people. It is a wasted and stressful life to try to please men. It is a very stressful way to live your life. It is a very stressful way to try to be like, I'm a people pleaser. I don't want anybody to be angry. I just want everybody to be cool. I just want people to feel good. It really can't really happen if you want to please God. You can't serve men. You can't make everybody be clapping because everybody is not going to clap. Even sometimes when everybody is clapping, some people are not clapping inside. So why are you bothering yourself? Like the Bible says, the heart of man is desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? Meaning that even the man himself, he may not know himself all the way. So why are you not trying to please the guy that the Bible says, who can know his heart? Well, you're not going to succeed. And so this morning I'm asking you, who are you pleasing? There are other people, other things that people can please. Maybe people are pleasing the devil, you know. But my focus is these three categories. Are you pleasing yourself? Are you pleasing others? And there's a third category, those who please the Lord. Those who please the Lord. Those who have a testimony that God can say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is 2025 and there are still people that I believe God is saying that about. There are some of them in this house. Some of them will become that kind of people after this message. There will be people that God will be able to say, this person pleased me. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, we read of the story of Enoch. The Bible said, Enoch had this testimony. He walked with God and he pleased God. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that it pleased God. Sir, I don't know what you want to have as your testimony. I don't know what you want to have as the life sentence that they will give you. Because you see, I believe every one of us, at the end of our days, you know, they will say so and so person, 1952 to 2025. You see, that dash usually will contain their life sentence. And for Enoch, his life sentence was this. That dash was this. He pleased God. I hope and I want, I pray that at the end of my race, if Jesus tarries, when you will summarize my own life, I want it to be not that I pastored well, not that I preached hard, not that I was sweating when I was preaching, not that everybody fell down and nobody could stand up while I'm preaching. Because all those things, some people went to Jesus, or Jesus was staying this parish. We say, in the end of the day, something will happen. And they'll come and meet me and say, we did all kinds of things in your name. And you say, I don't know you. You workers of iniquity. But I want it to be that at the end of my days, it will be said, Emmanuel, he pleased God. No. We don't need to count houses, degrees, people that I know, I don't know. No. That's inconsequential. But that he pleased God. Look at that kind of testimony for Enoch. Enoch did not live as long as Methuselah, but he had a better testimony than him. Maybe he was not even as rich as Abraham, but look at this testimony. What a testimony. If you are hearing me this morning, there is something bigger than some of the things you are chasing currently. There is something about pleasing God. And God this morning is calling you. God this morning is calling me to that place where we will please him. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. Paul began to pray in that Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. And by the time he got to this verse, he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And I'm praying that for you. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing him. In the name of Jesus. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. It is possible to please God. It is possible. Fully pleasing him. These three types of people, which of them are you? Which of them are you? Let me say a few things about pleasing God this morning. Number one, like I said last week, it is possible. It is possible to please God. Last week I said it is possible to grow spiritually. It is still possible to please God. In Luke chapter 6 verse 40, the Bible was talking about the fact that a servant cannot be greater than his master. If the Bible in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 said Jesus pleased God, if we are Jesus' servant, we will be like Jesus. That means it's possible. It is possible to please God. If we are like him, we can also please God. In John chapter 8 verse 29, in John 8 29, the Bible has this to say. John chapter 8 and verse 29. Jesus pleased God, so I can please God. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me, for I always do those things that please him. If Jesus pleased God, Luke chapter 6 verse 40 says that we can be like our master. And he said, I always do the things that please the Father. I don't just do what I want to do. I don't just live my life. Because a son indeed is the one that the Father can say, I am well pleased in him. And I'm praying this morning that there are people in this house that God will be able to say, I am well pleased in him. When it comes to pleasing God is possible. When it comes to pleasing God, I need you to know that it has become a greater challenge in this season. It has become a great challenge in this season to please God, but it is still possible. Pleasing God can be a great challenge. And let me tell you that if Jesus did all that he did in redemption, even before you started pleasing him. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, that he did not spare his son when you didn't know him. He said that if he could give you his son in that time, he said, how much more can he together with the son give you all things freely? So that means that if God spared Jesus before you started pleasing him, have you ever thought about it? What can God do when you start to please him? What can God do? What can God do? Because there are rewards to pleasing God. I will get there shortly. So this morning I'm telling you, it is possible. It may be a challenge. Because majority is usually on the wrong side.
Majority are not necessarily praising God. And some of us that are in this room, sometimes we look at the wrong script. We look at the wrong people. We compare ourselves. I've heard people say things like this. But there's so and so that doesn't know Jesus and is very rich. And in my mind, I'm like, that's a very wrong yardstick. You are on different lanes and you are comparing yourself. It's as if me now, I am a lightweight, heavyweight champion in boxing. I can't compare myself to an heavyweight champion. It's a different category. Anybody that is not in Christ is different from somebody that is in Christ. So comparison with that person is a useless comparison. You are not, it's like you are marking script from high school. You are using a high school standard and scale to mark, you know, elementary school. It doesn't work that way. And so this morning, it may be challenging, but I'm telling you, it is possible. It is possible. Pleasing God is possible. Pleasing God does not come naturally. That's another point. Pleasing God does not come naturally. It will have to be based on choice and decision. Pleasing God does not come naturally. The Bible says in that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, it says Enoch walked with God. It was the daily walk with God that made him to please God, that made him to have that testimony that he pleased God. Pleasing God does not come naturally. Will it be natural for you not to cheat in an exam? Maybe not so. Will it be natural for you not to tell lies? Maybe not so. Especially in the days when that lie will seemingly give you an escape route. Will it be natural for you to play it by the book when every other person, you know that that's how they do it? Sometimes some people will tell you that's what everybody does, but you are not everybody. Pleasing God demands that you don't use those kind of statements. That's what everybody does. And so what? Because everybody does it, that does it make it right? It doesn't matter the number of people doing wrong things. Many wrongs cannot make it right. Oh, a lot of people are doing it. Don't you know that's the in thing now? Oh, excuse me, sir. We serve the Ancient of Days. We serve the one that does not change with days. We serve the one that has always remained the same. He has always been wearing light and he has not changed his clothes. They were calling him holy, holy, holy in Isaiah chapter 6. And I can tell you in Revelations, they were still calling him holy. And even up to 2025, he's still holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty, the earth is still full of your glory. So, why are you trying now to necessarily follow the multitude? You have to make a choice. If you want to please God, it is a choice. There is a choice to be made that you will say that I will not follow the multitude. Don't ever look at the majority to determine who is pleasing God. Even if that majority has some of the people you respect, it may even be a man of God, maybe Pastor E. You are not to follow any man if that man is not following Christ. Paul says, be imitators of us as we imitate Christ. You don't follow people because they followed Christ yesterday. It's that they are still following him today. That's it. If they deviate, we do not deviate, because looking unto Jesus is the author and the finisher, is the first and the last, is everything about our faith. Not a father in the faith, not a brother in the faith, not a mentor in the faith, because a mentor in the faith can depart from the faith. Somebody that started with God can say they don't want to continue with him again. Are you going to now say you are not going to continue again? But come rain, come shine, we are going to stick with Jesus. I am satisfied with Jesus every day. Something's good going to happen on our way to the promised land. I stay with Jesus. I walk with Jesus. A long life's narrow way. Majority, they can be wrong. Don't ever look to the majority to determine who is following Jesus. So you are supposed to please God. There were several people in the days of David, but the Bible says in Psalm 89 verse 20, I have found David. I have found David. And God is still looking for people. He's looking for gifts. He's looking for sons. I hope he will find you. And you say, I found that person. I have found David myself. In fact, the day they found David, or the day that there was a physical anointing, because I believe there was a spiritual anointing by this scripture, until one day that there was a physical one. The Bible said that day Samuel came to David's house and they were asking for his children. They forgot that there was a David. Majority, sometimes God will bypass majority and be looking for the one. And there's still a value to stand with God as the one. Pleasing God is possible. Pleasing God can be a great challenge. Pleasing God does not come naturally. Let me say this to you. Pleasing God has a lot of reward. Pleasing God has a lot of reward. You can't follow the first and the last and it will mismanage your life. No. It won't mismanage your life. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. I've met people that will tell you, oh, don't. Just calm down. Later on, when you are older, you will push for in God. Don't mind them. It pays to follow Jesus. It pays to follow him wholly. Joshua and Caleb said, we have followed the Lord wholly. They were a minority. 2 people against 10. And usually that's how it looks. But can I tell you, it pays to serve Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 7. Proverbs 16 7. It says, if a man's way pleases the Lord, he can also make his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me tell you the truth. There are some people in the category of while they yet speak, he answers. There are some people in the category of whatsoever you think, not only what you ask, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. Who are those people? They are the people that please him. God will go out of his way to do things for them. There are the people that seemingly they have secured the heart of God. And the way God deals with them, God does not deal with them like everybody. I'm telling you, it doesn't. It's as if they have immunity. It's as if they have some advantages. God is no respecter of persons. You know that, right? God does not say, well, I choose this person. But God respects his own word. And anybody that respects that word, God will respect them. Anybody that pleases him, God will also please that person. You know, this crave of I must have it. There are many things you want to have that if you let God, you chase God, you follow God, those things will chase you. They'll come after you. It's time to please the Lord. God is asking for sons. This is the season that God is saying, you have been a child of God for too long. It is now time to be my son. Somebody that can carry my program. Somebody that can carry my agenda. I want you to please me. I don't want you to be a Sunday guy. You come on Sunday and Monday to Saturday, I don't see you again. I want you to please me. I want you to let your life be a life that will bring me venison, will bring me pleasure, will be a sweet smelling aroma to me. I want your life to please me. What you do, what you see, I want you to please me. And so this morning I'm saying to you, it is possible, it's a great challenge, but it has a lot of reward. Reward up to the fact that even when your enemies are against you, because God is for you, it will make your enemies to be at peace with you. That is the story of people like Daniel. Daniel would rather please God than please the king. Even when it will cost him his life. And because of that, that man was relevant in 4 administrations in a strange land. That means people in a strange land can be relevant in that strange land as long as they please God. Don't mind all these things that we are chasing. There are too many people running after things, and those, the faster they run, the faster those things run away from them. Because when you chase him, remember David said, he anoints my head. So that by the time I am pleasing him and there is something oozing on my head, it is affecting my life. He anoints my head with oil. When I go outside, I find that my cup is full. I thought it was my head that would be full, but my cup is also full. Because when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes things to work together. He says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are walking according to his purpose, to them that are pleasing him. All things. The bad things, he can make it to work. Even their mistakes, he can make it to work. Sometimes when you look at the life of David, you are like, David, how did you end up like this? David, how were you such that even till today, we still talk about the city of David in 2025, many thousands of years, even after Jesus has left. Why? How did David become this kind of guy? Is it that he didn't make mistakes? He did. But he had a posture. I want to please God. And God saw that. And God took note of it. And God said, I have found David.
I love this man. He said, in fact, in Acts 13, he says, David is a man after my own heart. A man that pleases God. God will go out of his way and do things for them. Look at what God did to David. It was because of David that Solomon had the kind of reign he had. All throughout his reign, there was no war. Why? Because of David, my servant. I'm asking this morning, will God find new Davids in this house? And those Davids have to be people that will please the Lord. Pleasing God has a lot of reward. What is pleasing God? What about pleasing God? Not pleasing God is a sin, and it is very dangerous. Not pleasing God is a sin, and it is very dangerous. People think they can just live their lives, do anything, as long as they just come to God and sing to Him. Let me say this to you. The content of your prayer, or the potency of your prayer, is powered by the person of prayer. If your prayer will be strong, you have to be a strong prayer. You see, you have to be a noun prayer before you are effective with the verb prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many times people do a lot of the verbiage, the verb of prayer, but they are not the noun. They are not the personal prayer. They are not the people that God can, without them saying a word, that their life can be saying many, many, many things. And let me tell you the truth. When you are pleasing to God, you don't even need to utter words. Not that you won't pray, but you see, your prayers become very effective, because the Bible, speaking in James chapter 5 verse 16, it says the effectual fervent, I think it's verse 17 now, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. It's not just effectual prayer. It's not just fervent prayer. It's the prayer of the righteous. There is a blessing of prayer that powers the content or the words of prayer. That's why there's a lot of prayer sometimes in church, and people don't see result, because the person praying is messing up what he's saying. Your life is louder than your words. You are living in a way that you are negating your prayers. There are people that are making their prayers unanswered. It's not the devil, it's you, because you don't please God. And pleasing God, not pleasing God, is a sin, and it's very, very dangerous. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. The Bible says this. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. If God is not well pleased, again and again, it can lead to judgment. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They were wasted. One of the ways to waste your life is not to please God. It will amount to a waste. There are many people that people are clapping for today. If only they knew what their pleasing God version will do, they will now know that this, their not pleasing God version, is a waste of their life. How do you waste a life? Don't please God. How do you waste a destiny? Leave it for yourself. How do you waste a destiny? Leave it for others. But if you want to maximize a destiny, because all things were created for Him and through Him, and so everything must give Him pleasure. So if you want to maximize a destiny, please God, sir. That is a son. A son is the person whom the father is well pleased in. A son is the person whom the father is well pleased in. Pleasing God, not pleasing God, is a sin and it's dangerous. And let me say this to you, pleasing God has a price. It's going to cost you something. You know, sometimes we don't mean to do that in church, but we say, come to Jesus. He will take away all the problem. And it's true, he will do that. But let me tell you the truth. Jesus has a yoke. Jesus put something on you. Following Jesus will constrain you. Following Jesus will stretch you. I can tell you that for free. Following Jesus is costly. I was talking to some of my friends, brothers. I say, many of us are looking for the prize. P-R-I-Z-E. But we don't know that to get the prize, there is a prize. P-R-I-C-E. Following Jesus. Pleasing Jesus. There's a price to it. There's a price to it. It's going to cost you. It was pleasing God that landed Joseph in the prison. It was not misbehavior. There are some people, where they are in life and that looks like a disadvantage, it's not because they did anything that was wrong. It was pleasing God. So it is possible that pleasing God gets you into a place that you don't want to be. But I'm here to tell you, that price is nothing compared to the price of the upward call. There's something bigger than that. On this earth and even outside of this earth, pleasing God is very costly. You have to pay a price for it. Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 16 says, there is a kind of sacrifice that God is well pleased with. Say, to do good and to communicate, to forget not. He says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased with. Pleasing God will cost you. Some people, it will cost them not marrying too early. Somebody says, you know, I've started hearing this word now, body count. You know, I want to test before we get there. And I loved one analogy I heard, and it blessed my heart. Because some people say, well, if I don't check the lady out, if I don't check the guy out before I get married to her or him, how will I know that we are compatible? And I got this example. It blessed my heart. He said, when most people want to buy a new car, they go and test drive it. And most of the time when they test drive that new car, it is not so that they will have the car for life. It is that so that we'll have the car for some time. So that new car that they test drove, they are still going to replace it very soon. So if they test drive you, Sila. So if I say I want to test drive, you know, me, I'm for permanent. No, I'm for permanent. And look at life. God didn't test drive you with your parents. It's once and for all. Whether they are good or they are getting good. Because some of us, we feel like, it's parenting. But God saw that it was good for you. If God can choose parents, and it will be for life, who told you can't choose spouse? Who told you can't help you with that? It will be costly to stand with that, because some people say, Pastor, what are you talking about? This is 2025. We don't do that like that. It was in the days of so-and-so. It's a lie from the pit of hell. People are still doing it today. There are people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There are people that have not bowed their knee to this popular culture, body counting. There are people that have not done that. And if you have not done that, don't do that. Oh, look at your neighbor, say, don't do that. But you didn't want to look at your neighbor. Some people are already getting angry. Don't be angry. I'm saying the word of God. Pleasing God has a price. It has a price. Pleasing God is a call to a new lifestyle. You know, when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. There is an instantaneous nature to that statement. But there's also a progressive nature to that statement. If a man is in Christ, he must be a new creature today. More new than he was yesterday. It's not one day he gave his life. I surrender all. In fact, that day he didn't really surrender all. He has just applied to be surrendering. Because the truth is this, we don't surrender all in one day. We keep surrendering every day. Me, I've not surrendered all. Because some days I get angry at some things. You know, I read the text. If I yesterday I was still reading one text, I got angry. I remember that I still need to surrender some things. Because we keep surrendering. So if a man is in Christ, he has to be a new creature every day. Every day. Old things of yesterday, not old things that you used to do before you came to say the sinner's prayer. Even the one that you did yesterday, they need to pass away. A new lifestyle. If you are pleasing God, you have to have a new lifestyle. Your lifestyle cannot be the same one it has always been. You have been a Christian now 10 years, but it's the same you. You are still a child. You are still a child. How do we know children? Instant gratification. I want it now. And that's how some of us are. Even in our prayer, that's how it looks. God, deal with my enemy. You know, sometimes when we pray some of this deal with my enemy prayer, it's even our friends. It's our friends. Because somebody hurt you yesterday, and in your mind, Lord, show them. But you know, I like God, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, he said God is rich in mercy. And out of his mercy, you know what God does? He really shows them, but he shows them goodness. Because sometimes the person that did you evil, you now see the person the next day. The person will just say, praise the Lord, God has done it. That's when they pass their exam. That's when something is not working for them. Why? Because God is trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you that as sons, you don't behave like a child. Now, one of the things that happens with maturity is delayed gratification. Ability to be able to wait. Ability to be able to be patient. The more you grow up, you can hold when you do some things. You know, it's childishness that makes people want to rush to do what they're supposed to do in marriage before they get into marriage. It's childishness. It's been a baby. I want it now. Why can't you wait? It's just 5 years more. Calm down. What you go ask the people that are married how much they are waiting. Many of them are still waiting. Pleasing God is a call to a new lifestyle, a total overhaul. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I now live is not my own. I live by the faith in the Son of God. God is calling you to a total overhaul, a new life, a new way of living. If you are a son, and a son indeed, if you are maturing into him, you need to mature into this new lifestyle. We need to be able to come and audit you at home with your siblings, and they will say something has changed about her. We need to be able to ask your wife, and she will say something has changed about him. We need to be able to ask your husband and say something has changed about her. We need to come into this newness every day by the help of God. There's a place I wanted to end today, but let me just treat one of it, because I've already shot all my time. Because when it comes to pleasing God, we need to yield our members to him. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Yield your members as instruments. God will need instruments to fulfill this is pleasing. Now, you please him in your spirit, but in your mortal body too, you will do that pleasing him. He will want to use your members. Let me share one member today, and I will take it from there the next time I speak, which by God's grace should be next week. Yield your bodies. Yield your members. The first member you should yield to God is your eyes. You should yield your eyes to God. I don't look at everything I want to look at. I look at what he wants me to look at. My eye is a gate. Most people don't know that. Your eye is a gate. There is entry into your system from your eyes. What you behold, you become. Job chapter 31 and verse 1. It says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look lustfully on a maid? Why should I? I heard about a story, very sad story, in a part of town. When they do conference every year, pastors come for this conference, and they notice that the internet usage in the hotel spikes up during this meeting. Male pastors. You know why? Some people are watching pornography. Things they could not do at home, they are doing it there. And just before you say it's them, even here this morning, there are people that are looking at the wrong things. You are looking at what you shouldn't look at. Some people now rationalize it. But I'm not hurting anybody. You are hurting. You are not pleasing God. Do you think God will now come into that thing that you are doing, and he'll be clapping and say, this is the house of God. This is Bethel. No. God will not. The Holy Spirit will not be free to move there. What you look at. And this morning, God is saying, if you want to please me, there's a cost, there's a price. And that price is, let us censor your viewership. What you are looking at. What are you looking at? Most times when people have what we call moral failure, a man goes and sleeps with another woman that is not his wife, somebody does something funny, many times people make it look like it just happened. The devil did it. There's a part to it. The devil did it with you, using you. He employed you. And the employment didn't start that day that it happened. The employment started long ago. Some people 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. In the corner of your room, on your smartphone. You know, sometimes we need to bind the devil called smartphone or demon called smartphone. Because the thing people are looking at on that thing is abominable. And because not too many people see it, and some of us we code our phone so that nobody in our world knows even the pain. Let me give you a secret. You are married, let your wife have your pain code. Can somebody say amen to Jesus? Oh yeah. My open secret. If in my house, you see the phone. It's helpful, so that what you are looking at, you are not looking at things that will kill you. Job said, "I have made a covenant." You know, God boasted about Job. God, it's not him that was boasting about God. God said, "The devil didn't come to report Job to God." Oh. The devil was going on his own. The devil got on and said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been going up and down." He said, "I have a testimony. My testimony is this. Have you seen Job? My servant. Job is a man. Job is a son. Not just these baby children all over the place. Job is a son. And what were some of the things that Job did? He said, "I made a covenant with my eyes. I told my eyes, you can't see everything that is available. I'm not going to allow any rubbish to enter my eyes. I'm not going to let people dump things, throw things at me. I don't watch everything." Oh, are you saying that you can? Sometimes you just need to watch some of those things to stay informed. Lie, 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 lie. You can. I'm telling you, you can be very informed by this. And I'm not against news. I'm not against information. I'm not against even some level of entertainment. But be careful, sir. Be careful, ma'am. We need to change what we are looking at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "Why we look not at things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal." Your focus, what you look at, should be more eternal than temporal. Look at the percentage of what you look at, which of them is temporal, which of them is eternal. Does this thing have eternal consequences? Does this thing have something that transcends now? Who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Some people in the days of Trump now, they are looking at Trump. I know you may think he's coming for you, but sir, if you look at God, not even Trump can hurt you. They looked to him, Psalm 34 and verse 5, and they were lightened. Their countenance was changed because they were looking to him. Who are you looking at? There are some people, they are looking at their godfather, one man somewhere. They are looking at their parents. Look unto Jesus. Even if you still have parents and at your age, they can still give you things. I remember several years ago, my mom used to ask me. She would ask me, "Do you have money?" After I became born again. One day I apologized to that. I said, "Mommy, I will never tell you I don't have money." This is me, I think I was probably 19 or 20 then. I said, "I will never, if you want to give me, give me. But money, God will do it." Because from that point in time, I started knowing that if I look to God, if I look to God, even at that age, He can take care of me. If I look to God. Because we can look unto Him and we are lightened. Spend more time with God than with men. That's how you look at Him. Spend more time. Spend more time with God. Be a person that you stay longer in church. You know that sometimes people come and meet us and say, "Our services are long." And maybe some people preach long like me. But sir, most of the movies, average movies, No, let's not go to season. Season. That's some people without Netflix and chillers. No, let's not go there. Just the one you watch in theaters. Some of them are 2.5 hours. Some of them are 3 hours movies. Who cares? But when it comes to the word, and this church that we come to is the whole service, so it's not just word. We usually don't preach 4 hours. I mean, maybe night goes to people who preach and all that. And so what? What's that? Small thing. Some of us, we sit down, we watch. I don't know what people watch now, but those days I used to watch 24. Did you hear the Sunderland guy, 24. Jackum Buck. Some people don't know that part of him, but his name is Jackum Buck. The guy never dies. But some of us will watch that 24, because 24 is a 24 hours. I think a season is 24 hours. So, and sometimes we will sit down almost the whole day, we are watching that. Can there be some kind of thing to that? Maybe. I'm not saying don't do that. Sometimes we too, we watch stuff. But I'm saying that let that not be your most, where you spend most of your time. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Some Saturdays, just say, this Saturday I will spend it with God. And it doesn't have to be in church, oh, just you and Him. Maybe this Saturday, let it be in church, 10 hours. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to. There are many things that you don't know is available. It's because the level where you are playing as a child. If you get to sons, they can wait. Strong men, they are the ones that can retain riches. And strength is built as we wait upon the Lord. They go from strength to strength, every one of them that appeared before the Lord. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Why are we weak again and again? We don't wait. Very microwave generation. We want to come to church and do like this. You know the thing they do on Instagram and TikTok? Get ready. GWRM. Get ready with me. We know some of this thing now. you know. And they do like this. Bam. Their clothes were on the bed. And as soon as they do like this, you see them in the clothes. That's how some people want the church to be. As soon as you come into the service, you came in as a child, you're just like this. Bam. You become a son. It doesn't work like that, though. We wait. There is a waiting period. You wait upon Him. And one of the things you need to be considering in this season, what am I putting my eyes to look at? What do I see? What do I look at? You are a man in this place. Don't look at everything. No. Don't look at everything. I'm just appreciating the beauty of God. That beauty can take you out. You can appreciate the beauty of God. The word of God is beautiful enough. Amen. Before you now start looking at what you should not look at. And you see, the way it works is this. Once you look, your eyes will take a picture of it. You will capture it and store it somewhere in your heart. You don't know it though. One day, it will just come as news flash. It will take you back, flashback, throwback Thursday. Throwback. And then you cast your mind back and you start to see, you shake it off. And then it leaves you alone. You'll come back again. You'll come back again. And before you know it, you as a lot, you didn't plan to go to Sodom. You just went near Sodom. But when we will find you, it's inside Sodom we'll find you. You are playing too safe when you are looking at everything. And this morning God is saying, are you a son? A son needs to understand that he needs to yield his member. And one of the members he needs to yield is his eyes. Your eyes must not look at iniquity. You must tell your eyes. Like the Bible says in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. I'm not going to be looking at the hills, but I'm going to be looking at the God that made the hills. That's where my help comes from. That's where I need to put a lot of my energy, a lot of my focus. And this morning and this week, I'm asking you to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look. Look and live. It was look and live that they had to do in the book of Exodus when the serpent bit. But did you know that the reason Jesus was crucified and he was put on a cross was so that we can look and we can also live. This morning is calling you to look and live. I want you to bow down your head and tell him that I will look so that I will live. I will look so that I will live. help me to please you. I want to have a testament. Not that I pleased myself. Not that I pleased others. I got all the degrees that I could get in the book. No. Not that I even came to church. It is possible I came to church. Not that I served in church. But I pleased you. Can we stand up? I want us to make a commitment. In my life, be glorified. In my life, be glorified. With my life, oh God, in my life, be glorified. I want you to put your hands on your eyes. And there are some people, what is happening to you now is that you are breaking from habits. There are people that are given to pornography. There are people that are given to masturbation. There are habits that have come into you by the high gate. As you sing that song that He be glorified, they are dropping off you as a scale. You are entering into a new season, a new dimension, where you please God with your eyes, in the name of Jesus. Oh, one more time in my life, we'll sing it in my.